A number of weeks ago at our Bible conference, we asked you to pray for a young girl by the name of Lindsay Wiley, who attended our summer camp for this past number of years. Lindsay took on well a few weeks back, and last weekend she took very unwell and sadly passed away on Monday morning at the age of 16. And I know Lindsay was a good friend to many, many of our young people, many of our summer camp workers and leaders, and she was here in the church at that special anniversary service that we had back in July for the camp. And today we want to remember Lindsay's family, her dad Trevor, her mum Angela, her sister Rachel, and also her brother Gibson. We want to remember them in prayer at this very sad and difficult time, that the God of grace and comfort will draw very, very near. And while we do not understand the ways of God, and we cannot fathom the mind of God, yet we must say that as for God, his way is perfect. And so we just commit the family and commit, especially today, our young people. We want you to remember our young people at this time as they grieve and as they sorrow over the loss of a dear friend. So let's bow in prayer. Our Father, our God in heaven today, we come to thee, Lord, and we thank thee that we can say our God is a refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. We thank thee, Lord, that in every storm and every sorrow of life, we praise thee, O God, that we can turn to thee. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a rock in which we can hide. We thank thee, Lord, that we can shelter under the wings of Almighty God. We thank thee, Lord, for that security and that safety that we find there. And our Father, we pray that you'll be with the Wiley family this day especially. Lord, that as they would mourn over the loss of their daughter, over the loss of a sister, Lord, as our young people would mourn over the loss of a friend, we ask, O God, that you will come very, very near and bless, O God, we ask, and comfort every heart. Lord, those whose hearts are heavy and sad and sorrowful today, we pray, Lord, that the God of grace and the God of comfort will be their strength. We thank thee, Lord, that we can find a refuge in thee. We thank thee, Lord, that midst all the billows that would lash against our way, we thank thee, Lord, that in Christ alone our hope is found. And our Father, we pray that in the midst of every sorrow and every grief, Lord, may everyone find the Lord Jesus Christ to be that refuge for their souls. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember our young people at this time. Lord, you know the heaviness of their hearts and the loss of one that they loved and one they had time with so often over these past number of years. And oh God, we pray that you'll be with them. Remember our summer camp workers. Lord, those who had the privilege of getting to know Lindsay. Lord, those who had the privilege of teaching Lindsay and all of our other young people in the things of God at the time of summer camp. And, O God, we pray that you'll be with them and bless them and comfort their hearts as well. O God, we just pray for each and every one today that the grace of God will be sufficient. We know it will. And so, our Father, we commend each and every one. Lord, every head bowed before thee today. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, you know every heart today. Lord, those whose hearts are sad and lonely, we ask, O God, that you'll come and be that friend to them even this day, we pray. Lord, we thank thee for one who never leaves or one who never forsakes. And so, our God, we just commit each and every one to the grace and to the comfort of Almighty God. Our Father and our God in heaven, we pray that you'll take up our thanks for thy goodness and thy mercy toward us today. We thank thee, Lord, that we are the living to praise thee this day. Lord, that thou hast blessed us with the good measure of health and strength to be found in the house of God. And Lord, we thank thee for even the comfort that we can glean coming together, meeting together one with the other, and most of all, meeting with thee. And Lord, we pray that you'll make this the house of God to our souls today. We pray, Lord, that you'll come amongst us. May the Spirit of God descend upon us. And Lord, speak to every waiting heart, O God, we ask. Our Father and our God, this morning we pray that you'll remember all those who cannot be here. We thank, Lord, of so many in our congregation who are unwell at this time. Lord, they are not able to be out as once they would have. And Lord, we just pray that you'll minister to their needs. Strengthen their bodies, we pray. And Lord, that very soon we'll see them out in the house of God. Our Father, we pray for those who have no desire to come to God's house. Oh God, we pray that thy Spirit will take a dealing with them. And Lord, we pray that in whatever way, Lord, we just pray that they will know the grace and the comfort and most of all the salvation that comes alone from thee. Our Father, we pray for this community. We pray, Lord, for this area. We ask, O God, that you'll awaken this area up to its need of Christ. O God, we pray that you'll open blinded eyes. Lord, we pray that you'll turn people away from the things of this old world in which there is no comfort. And Lord, we pray that you'll turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Lord, we pray that those whose hearts are heavy today, Lord, across this area and across this community, and yea, Lord, across this city, Lord, where lives have been broken and wrecked and ruined by sin, oh God, we pray that you'll turn to thyself, oh God, we pray. I ask, oh God, that you'll come and turn us as a land, as a people, as a nation back to God. Lord, we pray that the grace of God will abound towards our land and our nation at this time. Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a land that is full of evil and wickedness and sin. But, oh God, we pray that in the midst of it all that you'd prove thyself to be strong. Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, oh God, we ask of thee. So our Father and our God, we commit our time to thee now. We pray, Lord, you bless us as we would further sing thy praise, as we would read the word of God and meditate upon it for that season. We just pray that you'll come and open our eyes to see the truth of God concealed and contained within thy precious word. Bless us, we pray, not only here in our own congregation here in Sandown, but Lord, across the entire nation, across our province, and across every mission field, Lord, we pray that thy presence would come, and Lord, that you would be very, very real. Lord, that this day the Church of Jesus Christ will continue to go forward. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Lord, we pray that we will see the Church of Christ being built up. Lord, that we'll see those lively stones being added. O Heavenly Father, we pray for a work of God and a work of grace to be done in every heart and every life at this time. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee afresh. We pray, Lord, that you'll come. Come amongst us, O God, we ask of thee. And, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will have complete control of this meeting. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory and honor alone. Amen. Amen. Let's take another hymn, please. The hymn number 361. Hymn number 361. The page is 322. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. I want you to think of these words as we sing them. It's a lovely hymn. Familiar words, I know. But let's think upon them, that in the midst of all that's going on around us, we can know, we can experience the perfect peace of God when our minds are stayed upon Jehovah. 361, and we'll stand again as we sing. Let's stand and sing. Right. extend a very warm word of welcome to you all this morning. We're so glad to see you. We want to thank you for coming this morning to our morning worship service. To those who are visiting with us, we're glad to see you. And we want you to know that you're very welcome amongst us today. We trust you feel at home. And most of all, you know and feel the presence of the Lord with you today. So to each and to every one of you, thank you in the Lord's name for coming to our service today. Do remember the meetings throughout the rest of today and then in the week that lies ahead in the will of the Lord. Immediately after the service this morning, we meet around the Lord's table in his own appointed way. And then our Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon at 2:30. And at 6:30 then we meet again here in the church for prayer. And then our gospel service this evening at 7:00. We encourage you all to come back again to the gospel service tonight. It was good to see the church so well filled last Lord's Day evening for a special remembrance service. We want you to come back again tonight, 7:00. Bring others with you if you can. We're speaking on the subject tonight of the unknown tomorrow. And so let's come and let's pray even throughout this afternoon that the Lord would come and speak. So come again this evening, 7:00. You'll be made very welcome. And our sister Victoria Salt will be here to sing. Tomorrow night, our Bible studies continue at 8:00. Our brother Ian will be speaking at the Bible study tomorrow night. There is a youth council meeting also in the church. That will be held up in the rooms upstairs. And I'll be involved in that. So our brother Ian very kindly agreed to take the Bible study tomorrow night. It'll be held as normal here in the main body of the church. Tuesday and Thursday are early morning seasons of prayer at 6 a.m. Our children's meeting also on Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then we have our main midweek prayer meeting at 8:00 on Thursday night. Immediately after the prayer meeting on Thursday night, there'll be a very short meeting of our church committee. And then our youth fellowship will meet again on Friday at 8, and we encourage all of our young people, please make that effort to come on Friday night. We'll be practicing for the Christmas carol service, so we want and we need all of the support that we can have. Friday night, 8:00, come for the youth fellowship. Also, the men will have their prayer meeting this Friday night as well at 8 p.m. Our service is next Lord's Day, commence 7:30 in the morning. For the early morning season of prayer, 10:15, the Sabbath school, the Bible classes, and 11:30 and 7, the two main services here in the church. Both of those preceded by the half hour of prayer. Also next Sunday afternoon, being the last Sunday of the month, we'll have the monthly meeting in the Domhnall Care Home, so please do remember that. That'll be at 3 p.m. I want to thank you for your giving to the missionary cause of our church. There was the missionary council offering, which came to £172, and also the offering for our sister Margaret Russell, who was here on Thursday night past, came to £510. So that brought in a total of £682.70 for the week, for last week, for the missionary cause. We want to thank you sincerely for your kind and generous giving to the missionary work. The calendars, our church calendars for next year, they are available this morning. There's an ample supply of them. There are 2,000 altogether. And as in past years, what we want you to do is we want you to arm yourself with as many as you can. Take them, use them as an opportunity to give them out to your friends and to your family. And details of the church services are on there as well each month. And keep one, of course, for yourself, or as many as you want for yourself. They're all free, no charge for them. And so please take them with you and use as many as you can, even to distribute around your own local area. And then in a few weeks' time, those that are left, we will get them around the doors here in the local vicinity of the church. So please take as many as you can with you today and use them and give them out over the next number of weeks. Also for our young people, for those who have not yet signed the little book that we put together, or that Lee and Orla put together on Friday night in memory of Lindsay, if you didn't get a chance to sign that book on Friday night, please do see Leah or Orla today, and you can sign that book, and that will then be passed on to Lindsay's family in due course. These are all the announcements. Let's turn again in our hymn books to the hymn number 443. 443. Pages 355. I should say as well that we had a very good meeting on Friday night with our young people and other of summer camp workers and those who knew Lindsay. A time of prayer. It was just a blessed thing to be in that prayer meeting, to hear those young people pray. And we want you to remember our young people very especially at this time. Keep them before the Lord's grace. We have a young people and a youth in this church that we are rightly proud of. And we are so thankful for each and every one of them. And we want to hold them up continually before the throne of grace. So please do remember them. 443, the page is 355. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. 443, we'll keep our seats, and your offering for the Lord's work will be received. Together for verse number 3, be still my soul, the hour is hastening on. Scripture reading this morning, again, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah and the chapter 6. As we continue on going through this book. Nehemiah chapter 6, and we will read from the verse number 5. just to pick up some things that we touched on last week, and then go further on into this chapter this morning by the help of God. So Nehemiah chapter 6, the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and the chapter 6, and we will commence reading at the verse number 5. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me, that is Nehemiah, in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou veinest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to see of his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Amen. We'll end there at verse 14. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word together. Can we come again to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help as we come to the preaching of his word this morning? Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to thee again. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless us now as we come to thy precious word, as we come around the scriptures of truth this morning. We ask, O God, for thy speaking voice to be heard. We pray, Lord, for the enablement to hear. We ask, O God, for that enablement to preach. O God, we pray that, Lord, in the pulpit and in the pew, Lord, that we will know that God is here. O God, we pray that you'll come amongst us today and help us, O God, teach us and instruct us out of thy precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the cunning and crafty devices of Satan have failed once again to take Nehemiah from the work. We saw last Lord's Day how that the lies that had been spread around the country about Nehemiah and that were then published in a letter, they had also failed to take Nehemiah away from the work that he was doing. The strategy of Satan was to discredit the man of God, to trick the man of God, and all of those things failed in order that this man might continue on with the work that he was called to do. And as Nehemiah determined in his heart to press on in the work of God, he uttered that very simple, that very short prayer that we concluded with last Lord's Day morning, at the end of verse 9, where he said, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah realized that if he was going to continue on and do the work that God had called him to, he needed the strength of God. He needed the Lord to give him great wisdom and give him great discernment, because the enemy most certainly was not giving up. Because as we'll see today, there was yet another invitation that came to Nehemiah. Yet there was yet another attempt to take Nehemiah away from the work of God and the work of rebuilding the walls. But it didn't come this time from Sanballat and Tobiah. It came from another source. We might say it came from a more reputable source, a more acceptable source. And yet this invitation, like all the others before it, came from the very pit of hell itself. This was, as we have entitled our message for today, this was a pious proposition. This was a religious request. On the face of it, appeared to be acceptable because of who it came from and because of what it entailed. So let's turn our attention then from verse number 10 down to verse 14, and let's look now at this pious proposition. Let's look at the matter, the details that were brought before Nehemiah once again. Four things we want to see here from this proposition as we have them here in these verses. First of all, I want you to see with me here the contents of this proposition. Verse number 10 deals at length with the contents of this proposition, this invitation that Nehemiah received. We look at the contents here. Notice the individual. Notice the individual. Because as we've said, this invitation, this proposition that Nehemiah now received, it didn't come directly from Sanballat or Tobiah or any of the other enemies recorded for us in this book or anyone else that we have met so far in our studies throughout this book of Nehemiah. This invitation here in verse number 10 comes now from a man by the name of Shemaiah. Who was he? Who was this man? Well, the contents, as we'll go on to see, of this invitation had to do with access to the temple. It was offering refuge in the temple for Nehemiah, and it would suggest one who had full and free access to the temple. So I think we can conclude that Shemaiah was a priest. He held religious office. But for whatever reason, this man was housebound. It says there in verse number 10 that he was shut up. Now, I tend to think, as I've thought over verse number 10, and others have had different thoughts on it, and that's entirely fine. But I intend to think that this man, Shemaiah, was a man that Nehemiah had come to before. We read there in verse number 10, it says, "Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah." It may well have been that Nehemiah had visited him before, went to him to offer support. If he was shut up and to seek to help him, perhaps to seek advice. For whatever reason, we're not entirely sure, but Nehemiah comes to this man's house. But I think as we go through these verses today, we can conclude and we can see that the enemies of Nehemiah knew that he had an acquaintance with this man, Shemaiah. They knew that he would have visited with him in the past, perhaps. And they were watching Nehemiah all the time. And they were looking for opportunities all the time to seek to infiltrate him and seek to get Nehemiah on sight. That's exactly what was happening, because we'll come to it in a moment. But if you look down there at verse number 13, Nehemiah says, "Therefore was he," that is Shemaiah, "hired." This man, this priest spoken of in verse number 10, he was a man, yes, who held religious office and held authority in the temple, but he was a man who was bought by the enemy to seek to destroy the work of God. He was a man whom, yes, Nehemiah had a knowledge of, and the enemies, I believe, knew that, and they sought to use this man, Shemaiah, to try to bring Nehemiah down and try to entrap him. He was hired. He was in the pocket of the enemy. Their devices, the devices of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and all the rest of them, had failed up to now, and now their ploys are different. And they used this man, Shemaiah, as a decoy in order to trap Nehemiah. You see, folks, today we got to realize that there is nothing and there is no one that Satan will not use to try to stop and try to hinder the work of God. Satan will stoop so low, and he will use anybody and everybody, even those respectable, upright people, to try to hinder and try to stop the work of God. Here was a man who held religious office, but here was a man who was being employed as an agent of the devil. And sadly, he was taken in by it. He was seeking self-promotion, that is, Shemaiah here. He allowed himself to be hired. The appeal of money here overtook him. And so he allowed himself to be used by the enemy to ensnare Nehemiah. Isn't it sad today that the history of humanity doesn't really change very much? History keeps repeating itself. And there are those in religious office today, those in the highest echelons of religion, and formal, we might say, Christianity, and yet there's really no Christianity in any of it. And they are being used and being employed as the agents of Satan, with one aim, with one purpose, to try to hinder and try to destroy the work of God. Respectable, upright people, and yet they're in the hands of the devil. That's exactly what's going on here in verse number 10, this man Shemaiah. So there's the individual. But notice now the invitation as we consider further this, the contents here of this proposition. What did this man want? Afterward, I came onto the house of Shemaiah, man who was shut up, and he said, listen, let us meet together in the house of God. Let us meet together. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Because last Lord's Day morning, if you remember, in verse number 2, we had Sambalat and Geshem saying unto Nehemiah to leave Jerusalem and to come to the valley of Ono. And what did he say? Come, let us meet together. And here's the exact same invitation being offered. Different people involved here, different characters in play here. More religious, more upright man being on the scene here. But the message and the invitation still the same. Let's meet together. Here was another direct plea for unity and conformity, a plea for discussion and devotion. Let's meet, let's talk. Let's work all of this out. Meeting together. That's a favorite plea and ploy of the ecumenical movement today. Let's all meet. Let's all be one. We're all one at the end of the day. And that's what's happening here in verse number 10. Let's meet together. While the scriptures command us to be separate and to identify with Christ, yet the plea of the world to the church today is integration and ultimately assimilation. Sounds so warm, it sounds so cozy, it sounds so inviting, doesn't it? Well, let's just meet together. There's no harm in that. And if you reject such an invitation, well, you're made out to be very unfriendly. You're not a very nice person. You're not a very loving person. And really, you're not a very Christian person. And notice where they were to meet. Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple. Why? Well, look at the end of verse 10. Look what this man Shemaiah says to Nehemiah. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. This whole invitation was dressed up in a pretense. Nehemiah, this is all for your good. This is all for your benefit. This is for your protection. You see, if Nehemiah, if Sambalat and Tobiah couldn't get Nehemiah out of Jerusalem to Ono to take his life, then they would threaten to kill him in the very place of service and usefulness in Jerusalem. But this invitation was extended under the guise of offering Nehemiah protection. It was extended under the the pretense of offering him security from this perceived danger that he apparently was in. You see, this invitation was dressed up as being for Nehemiah's good and being for Nehemiah's benefit. You see again just how crafty and cunning Satan is. Using someone that Nehemiah had a knowledge of and perhaps a respect towards, and seeking to use that to trap Nehemiah, and all the time pretending it was for Nehemiah's good. Let's meet together. Let's come together. And this will be for your protection. This will be for your benefit. And again today, the whole call to the church of Jesus Christ is, let's come together, because at the end of the day, it's all for our good. It's all for our benefit. We're better together. Oh, we're stronger together. And yet the scriptures tell us today that our strength comes not from our unity and our union with those outside of the church, but our strength comes from our union and our unity, which is founded alone on Jesus Christ, who is the sole head and the only head of his church. And anyone who seeks to deny the sole headship of Jesus Christ as the head of his church, we will have nothing to do with, and we should have nothing to do with. Anyone or any organization who does not seek to defend the teaching of the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation is found alone in Christ alone, by faith alone, we are to have nothing to do with. We're to be identified with Christ. We're to be identified soldiers of his army. Not the soldiers of the army of the movement that's so abroad today. And if that means bearing reproach outside of the camp, so be it. All of this was under the plan that Nehemiah was under some sort of attack. Nehemiah, this is for your good. This will help you in the long run. This will help the work of God. And as we'll go on now to see, if Nehemiah had been taken in by this, it would have done nothing but hinder and halt the work of God. The contents of this proposition. But notice now the comeback here to this proposition, this plan, this invitation. What was Nehemiah's response? What was his answer to this pious proposition? Well, let's read together verse number 11. And I said, that's Nehemiah, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. We could sum up his answer in one word. No. No. It would have been easy for him to say, yes, oh, that sounds very appealing, it's very nice. We'll sit down, we'll have a cup of tea, we'll have a scone together, and we'll have a great time. Nehemiah says, no, don't have anything to do with it. I'm here to do the work of God. I don't have time to go and talk. He refuses and he rebuts this proposition. Notice the reason here for this comeback. Notice something very important. Quite a number of things actually very important in verse 11. But look what he says. And should such a man as I flee? And who is there, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? Nehemiah, first of all, refused because he wasn't a coward. Should such a man as I flee? Nehemiah had faced down the enemies and the opponents all the way. And was he going now to flee? Was he going to hunker down into the temple and be seen as a coward if his life was in danger? If the enemy was really coming to invade the city, what sort of a leader would Nehemiah be? If he was to seek protection in the temple and all the rest of the people whom he labored with could have had the possibility of being slaughtered and killed, devoured by the enemy. Nehemiah wasn't a coward. We've seen that. Nehemiah wasn't going to let the big boys with their strong words and their idle talk put him off and send him into hiding. That's exactly where they wanted him to go. Nehemiah was brave. Nehemiah was courageous. He stood strong in the face of the attacks before, and he was going to stand strong again. You see what was happening, and we noticed this last week. It was continually seeking to wear Nehemiah down. The enemy never gives up. And they'll come again and again and again, and Satan will use whoever and whatever he wants and whoever he wants to try to wear down the people of God and the servants of God with one thing after another, and eventually hoping at some stage, just one little opportunity, Nehemiah will cave in and then they'll have won. Nehemiah says, I'm not going in. I'm not a coward. Notice also the recognition here in this comeback. And another reason that he gave for saying no had to do with the location of this proposed meeting. Come down to verse 13. Look what it says there. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Sin. Notice that. You see, it would be a sin for him to go into this place of refuge where this proposed meeting was going to take place. Because when Shemaiah offered that invitation and extended that invitation in verse number 10, and he talked not merely about the temple itself, not just the actual building, but they were to meet in a very specific place within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, verse number 10. The reference there is to the inner sanctuary, there to the holy place, that place which was secured and only the priests could go into. No ordinary layman, no ordinary person could go in there, even if it was for a refuge, because it was commanded against in the Word of God, in the law of God. The book of Numbers chapter 18 and the verse 7 says that any stranger that cometh nigh unto that place, unto this place where this plan was all going to be worked together, in verse number 10, it says, any man, any stranger, that's not one who's not a priest, that cometh nigh shall be put to death. It would be a sin for Nehemiah to meet together in that place because he was barred from it under the law of God. We read of a man in the scriptures by the name of Uzziah, King Uzziah. We've looked at Uzziah in the past in our prayer meetings. And King Uzziah is a man who was puffed up with his own importance. And he thought he could just go on into the temple and into that holy place where only the priests were allowed to go to, and it wouldn't make any difference. But it was against the law of God, it's against the word of God. And we read back in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 concerning this man, Uzziah. He went in. It says there, verse 18, they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. In other words, you're not allowed in here. But to the priests, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. He had broken the law of God. He had gone against the word of God. And what a sin. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Sin is breaking what God has commanded us against. And Uzziah, Nehemiah, and all the others who were not priests, they were forbidden from going into this place. And it says there of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, that he was smitten down with the plague of leprosy because he went against the plan of God. You see, it would have been a sin for Nehemiah to have gone into this place of supposed protection. He would have been sinning. He would have been breaking the law of God. You see, for Nehemiah, the command of God was more important than the invitation of man. Here was another example of Nehemiah seeking to honor God before honoring man. Satan comes and he makes sin so appealing, doesn't he? He dresses it up. And yet sin is sin is sin if it goes against the word and the commands of God. Nehemiah was no coward. Nehemiah was not going to break the law of God. And so he was able to say with confidence and conviction there in verse number 11, I will not go in. Another time when Satan sought to entrap Nehemiah, and another time when Nehemiah comes and answers no, not having anything to do with it. The contents, the comeback. But come into verse number 12 here, and notice now the comprehending of this proposition. Notice how Nehemiah comprehends exactly what's going on here, and I want you to notice this. Let's read verse 12. And lo, I, Nehemiah speaking again, lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Sanballat and Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Nehemiah comprehended. Nehemiah understood. He perceived exactly what was going on. Again, we see the great discernment this man had. We noticed that last week. This was not of God. This plan involved going against the law of God, involved going against the word of God. And you see, anything that goes against the law of God, anything that goes against the command of God, it's not of God. Even though it might seem acceptable and even though it might seem appealing, it's not of God if it goes against his word. You see, if we had more discernment and more perception of such things today, there'd be less mess in our homes and our lives and our communities. Because there's so much today that's done under the name of God, and God has got nothing to do with it. It wasn't initiated by him. It was inspired by him. It was from the very pit of hell. How do we know if something is of God? How can we test whether something is of God or not? You take it to the Scriptures and see how it stands against the Word of God. Check everything by the Scriptures of truth. And if it is not in accordance with the Scriptures, then it is not of God. That's as black and white as it is. Nehemiah knew that anything which involved him breaking the law of God, going against the Word of God, for him to go into this place, it could not have been of God. God does not cause his people to sin. Let me say that again. God does not cause his people to sin. God is not the author of sin. And sadly today there are people and they'll say, but God told me to do that, and God told me to do this, and God told them nothing of the sort if it goes against the word of God. What saith the Scriptures ought to be our spirit level when weighing everything up that we do. Listen to the words of Isaiah 8 and 20. To the law and to the testimony. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8, the people were rebuked for seeking counsel from ungodly people. And the instruction is given, take it to the Scriptures, take it to the law, take it to the testimony of truth. Put everything in the light of the Word of God. Shine everything into the Scriptures of truth. And if there's no light in them, then it's not of God. It will be of no spiritual benefit or assistance to you. Even though this was dressed up as all being very religious and all being very good, it was not of God. That, of course, means that we need to know the Word of God. We need to consult the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. And perhaps today the problem is Too many professing Christians just run headlong into things without even thinking about what does the Scripture say about this? Is the name of God honored in this? Is my testimony affected as a result of this? Nehemiah was a man of God. Nehemiah was a man of the Word. Nehemiah was a man of conviction, and so he perceived that this invitation was not of God. What boldness he displayed. What great strength, even in the face of yet another maneuver of Satan to try to trip him up. What discernment. What spiritual insight. What wisdom. This false prophet and priest was in the hands of the enemy. He was Sambalat and Tobias' puppet, and they were pulling the strings. He was doing their dirty work. And that was made all the worse, given that it was done under the guise of respectable religion. You see, there's too much respectable religion today in our society, and it has nothing to do with the work of God. But it is the work of the devil, and sad to say, there are many, many sucked in by it. Many are deceived by it. Many are duped by it. How we ever need to stand our ground, how we ever need to test everything against the Scriptures of truth. What does the Scripture say about this? Because look again at verse 13. Notice the intention. And here's the heart of these enemies revealed here. Nehemiah knows exactly what's going on. Therefore was he hired, that is Shemaiah, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they, that is the enemies, might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Here Nehemiah comprehended exactly what was going on here. It was that the enemies might have cause to speak ill of Nehemiah. It was that they might have a reason to justify their sinful desires. If Nehemiah had just gone into that holy place where only the priest was allowed to go, then the enemies could have used that as ammunition. Here's a man of God breaking the law of God. He's been disobedient. They knew the law all right. They knew the commandments of God, and they sought to trip Nehemiah up. Why? So that they would speak ill and seek to discredit and to disgrace Nehemiah. But Nehemiah perceived that this whole thing was not of God, done under the pretense of respectable religion, and yet it was not of God. Nehemiah, by his gritty determination never to give up, never to give in, never to turn back, he posed a threat to Satan. And there was nothing that the devil would do to try to stop him from doing the work of God. There was no level that the devil would stoop to in order to hinder the work of God. And Satan, or Nehemiah, had already had to put up with the hatred and the spiteful words, the devious invitations, the letters full of lies as to his character. And now he wasn't going to be put off by this respectable religious man who sought a meeting in the temple. You see, folks, we can take up our time doing all sorts of different things. But does it have anything to do with the work of God? Does it have anything to do with advancing the cause and the kingdom of Jesus Christ? That's what we're here to do. That's what we're called to do. We need to comprehend. We need to have more discernment today in these evil and wicked and sinful days. And so much is done under respectable religion, and so much of it, if any, is not of God. The contents, the comeback, the comprehending. But notice as we close this morning, now the countering. The countering of this proposition. Look at verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sambalat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. How did Nehemiah counter this? Yes, he said, no, I'm not having anything to do with it. How did he deal with it? He dealt with it the same way he had dealt with every slimy, sinful plan. He took it to the Lord in prayer and he left his opponents with the Lord. You can see in verse 14 there was obviously a conspiracy against him. The prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets. All these religious leaders rising up to work against Nehemiah. All these false prophets seeking to do the work of the devil and seeking to hinder and hold back the work of God. Nehemiah took every single one of them to the Lord and say, Lord, you deal with them. He didn't try to answer them back. He didn't give a reason as to why he wouldn't go in. He just said, I'm not doing it. Went on with the work and said, Lord, you deal with them now. It's similar to that prayer that he offered in back in Nehemiah chapter 4 and the verses 4 and 5. When Sambalat had heard about the work being taken forward, he was very wroth. And he sought to come and throw all his slanderous words towards Nehemiah. Well, you're only nothing in the sight of these great people. And the work that you're doing, it's not going to have any benefit or not last. Nehemiah says in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 4, he says, cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. He just left them with the Lord. And that's exactly what he's doing again now in chapter 6, verse 14. He's leaving them with the Lord. He's calling down the Lord's judgment upon them. Lord, you confound them. Lord, you confuse them. Lord, as you think upon me to bless me and help me, Lord, think upon mine enemies to confound them and to avenge them. Matthew Henry gives a very insightful comment on this verse in his commentary. He said this. He said, whatever injuries are done to us, we must not avenge ourselves, but commit our cause to him that judgeth righteously. Whatever injuries are done to us, and Nehemiah had injury after injury, hurt after hurt done to him, and he would have a just cause from a human point of view to take them all to task and answer and rebut every single one of them. But what did he do? He took them to the Lord. And whatever injuries are done to us, we must not avenge ourselves, Matthew Henry says, but commit our cause to him that judgeth righteously. And all those who rose up against the work of God to do the devil's work, the Lord will deal with them. The Lord will deal with them in his own way and in his own time. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You see, folks, today, as we seek to labor and work for God and seek to advance the cause of Jesus Christ, we're on the victory side. We're on the winning side. We're on the Lord's side. And the Lord will defend his cause. The Lord will defend his people. What are we called to do? We're called just to get on with the work of God. We're called to call sinners to repentance, to faith in Jesus Christ. We're called to advance the gospel, to get out into the community and seek to tell men and women of their great need of salvation, their need to be right with God. We are to be ambassadors for God in these days. We're to tell others the great gospel of saving grace, that Christ Jesus came into this world, died on the cross, such was his love, that we might be saved. We might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. That's the work we're called to do. And yes, as we seek to do it, Satan will hinder us. But as Satan hinders us, take them all to the Lord in prayer. Nehemiah wasn't going to be deflected for any longer than necessary, dealing with Satan's evil devices. Nehemiah wasn't going to be blown off course. What do we do today with Satan's advances and his devices? We are to be alert to them. We are to reject them. And we are to give them over to the Lord. Even though today that might come dressed up in religious garb, refuse them and have nothing to do with them. Refute them. And just get on with the work that God has called us to do. God, give us all the discernment. God, give us all the determination that Nehemiah had, especially in these corrupt days when Satan is so busy. He will use every ploy in the book to try to distract us and try to discourage us from the work of God. And try to make us give up, to flee away and to go into hiding. Try to trap us. God, give us the discernment. God, give us the determination that Nehemiah had. He didn't come down at the wall in verse number 2. He wasn't going in to meet with Shemaiah in verse number 11. He wasn't going to cave in. He wasn't going to stop. He was just going to press on and press forward for God. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be Nehemiahs of this day and generation. To press on in the work of God. To do the work of God. And for those who would seek to rise up to stop us, to hinder us, to take us into hiding, to take us away from the work of God, just let the Lord deal with them as we deal with the Lord's work. And as we do the Lord's work and do His bidding. Give us discernment. And God, give us determination to press on. And to work on, and to see the cause of Christ advance. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, this morning we thank Thee again for the instruction that we can glean from this man Nehemiah. We praise Thee, Lord, that even in the midst of all the opposition that he had to face, he still pressed on. He had that spiritual insight to realize that all that was coming his way was not of God. Lord God, we pray that this day that we might have such an insight as well. Lord, that we'll also have that desire to press on and to work on. Help us, Lord, just to leave all those who would seek to oppose and seek to hinder the work of God, just to leave them with the Lord. Help us, Lord, to leave them with Thee, knowing that You will do right. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless Thy work here, even in our own congregation. We ask, O God, that as we continue from week to week, month to month, and year to year in Thy will, Lord, that we will see the church build up. Lord, that we'll see Thy cause advanced. Lord, though all hell should raise against us, O God, we pray that You'll give us that determination to keep on going. Lord, we thank Thee. At the end of the day, we're not working for ourselves, we're working for Thee. Help us, Lord, to see that we're employed in the Master's business. Help us, Lord, to see that there are souls lost and dying on their way to a lost eternity. We have the message that only will save them, the gospel of saving grace. Lord, help us to be busy. Help us, Lord, to be busy in the Master's work, not to be busy in the devil's work. Help us, Lord, not to have idle hands, but, Lord, help us to be busy in the work and cause of Christ. Bless every heart, we pray. Lord, we pray that whatever the need might be, we pray, Lord, that You'll set us all on fire. Give us, Lord, a greater burden and a greater passion. Lord, we pray that You'll bless us now. Continue on with us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with the singing of hymn number 538. 538. There's a royal banner.